We arrive here today to debate at social distances from each other.
There's no doubt that the old politics of the two-party system is now gone and over.
I don't need lectures from you or anybody on the Sinn Féin side of the house.
We're very reluctant to say what's red lines, but we do have to take climate seriously.
There's going to be constant criticism, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, and whoever goes into government is going to be unpopular.
Okay. Hello, and you're very welcome to Your Politics Podcast. I'm Paul Cunningham. Our podcast tries to give you the inside track on what's happening in the Oireachtas. The two people have to live up to that high bar. Micheál Lehan, our political correspondent, and Mary Regan from our political staff. Mary, we're talking about Christmas a little bit early this year. Can you explain why and what was it that Leo Varadkar said?
Yesterday in the Dáil, the Taoiseach made this indication, you know, that there would be a return to level 3 after level 5 restrictions are eased. And of course, that prompted a big discussion in the parliamentary parties in Fianna Fáil, particularly last night, and also Fine Gael. And then the Taoiseach came into the Dáil today and he suggested that people should not
now.
I made that mistake. I'm not the only one. throws the first stone. But the Taoiseach that came into the Dáil today, and then he said that he would advise people not to book their flights home for Christmas. He said it's tough, but Christmas is still 6 weeks away and it's too soon now for people to be booking flights home. But that's sort of the first definitive direction, I suppose, that people have got. You know, people are waiting to know whether they should book their flights home or not. And that is the first, you know, the strongest statement we've heard yet from government of what people should do.
I suppose it wouldn't be a surprise, Mary Regan, that he would say that. I mean, it seems to be a fairly consistent message over the past 3 or 4 weeks, which was, let's get to December the 1st or 2nd or 3rd. Mm. We'll have a look at the lie of the land. We'll decide on the levels. And even though it's an inconvenience is what COVID-19 does.
And even, you know, Dr. Tony Holohan has already sort of, you know, softened the public up for this, saying he already said last week that it would be too soon to say. But yet, I think it was the way that the Taoiseach said this, that it had sort of prompted a public reaction, certainly listening to Liveline this afternoon, of people who are sort of really angry now that their loved ones cannot come home for Christmas. And of course, we all know that this is a great Irish ritual. You know, we think back to the ESB ad back in the 80s of the fella coming home and his mother turning on the immersion and putting the dinner on. And it does seem to have, you know, struck a chord with parents in particular who won't be able to possibly see their loved ones for Christmas. And, you know, we heard Micheál Martin then was less less certain about what should happen here, and his calls from his parliamentary party last night to maybe ease back down to level 2 restrictions for the Christmas period. And what he said in response to them is that he would like to see a reasonable Christmas. So that's something we'll all be putting on our Christmas cards, wishing each other a very reasonable Christmas this year.
I mean, it was the Labour leader, Alan Kelly, who sort of first hoisted the flag that we needed to save Christmas. How does a government negotiate its way through these difficulties between the anticipation of the public who want to try and make and recreate the Christmas that we've always had, and yet at the same time this public health analysis, which means you can't do that, it has to be different? And so how are these three party leaders of Éamon Ryan, Leo Varadkar, Micheál Martin going to get this message together but also be able to sell it?
Yeah. And if you look at the logic behind what the Taoiseach was saying, like, he was saying, as the numbers go down, international travel in many ways becomes an even greater threat, because it's at that point that you could reseed the virus, he was saying. They were the words he was using. Mm-hmm. So there can't be any good news based on that logic, if that is the logic, and that's the logic he cited today.
But is it?
As it gets better, the prospect of international travel becomes even less on that basis. Very different to what was being said at the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party, where there was a call for optimism, to take an optimistic view, to get to level 2. And if you can't get to level 2, to get to level 3, that is effectively level 2. And we've seen this morphing and hybrid nature to the levels before. And essentially, some of the things that were identified as key there was inter-county travel has to be allowed for Christmas to allow people to get home. And also that you will have restaurants and perhaps pubs serving food open at some level. Things too being discussed, like children and children will be coming directly out of schools, and if they are going to grandparents' homes for Christmas, what can you do about that? Some proposals being talked about, perhaps to give the schools the option to close a little earlier so the children could be quarantined for a few days. That's the thinking at one level. And then what Leo Varadkar says seemed to be at odds with that kind of optimism that was being spoken about in the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party rooms. So as the Dáil disperses right now and TDs are beginning to go home, there's very mixed views, and that shows the challenge. I think clearly, though, that reasonable Christmas proposition that Micheál Martin spoke about, and he talks about moderating level three to some extent, that probably relates to restaurants. Maybe it relates to allow people travelling between counties in the days leading up to Christmas. It's going to be different. It's going to be different to an out-and-out level two.
But why are we still talking about it could be this, it could be maybe this, maybe that? I mean, we're several weeks into level five. Everyone's known that Christmas is coming around the corner. You know, if you think to Father Ted and you've got that big red button and Dougal is looking at it and he's going to press it, is it time at this point for the government to press it and say we're not going to have the Christmas and then lay out what can and can't happen? Or is it wiser for them to wait until early December and say, you know, just bear with us, we'll have a look at it on December the 3rd, we'll know what we're talking about by December 14th, we'll be back to you by December 20th, and, you know, we'll give you the news then.
Yeah, but there is this time compared to coming out of the last lockdown, there does seem to be a realisation what you could be facing in January. They are mindful of that, and particularly mindful for the economic impact of a third lockdown. So I think that is influencing the decisions. I mean, what's the word being, the words being used are maximum flexibility. So they'll do everything they can with a view to trying to boost economic activity to the maximum, but trying to prevent a third lockdown.
What do you think, Mary, just as a woman of the West, and we're talking about people wanting to go home, working in Dublin, travelling back over to Galway, or indeed to Kerry, there are certain things I wonder whether politically the politicians will be having some sort of like assessment that there's things we simply cannot do. We cannot tell people to stay in Dublin for Christmas. It's just not possible because people won't respect it. How are they going to be able to sort of deal with those and be able to calibrate their response to it?
Well, it's going to be very difficult because it's not just people flying home from abroad, as you said, it's people travelling between counties, and I think there will definitely be a push on, and in fact there already is, from government backbenchers to allow that inter-county movement to take place around Christmas time. Now, whether they delay an announcement and sort of leave it until later in the day to tell people, yes, you can come home, you know, and there might be something politically to gain from that. It's, you know, a nice Christmas gift to everybody. But at the same time, I think the later they leave it, then, you know, there is a risk of leaving it too late in the day, because then people will say, well, you know, why didn't you sort of tell us about this sooner? Because we could have got our plans in place. We could have, you know, got the bigger turkey or the smaller turkey or whatever
it is. Or
business
could have prepared
and
for it.
Yeah, and that is another argument then also taking place sort of separately, is businesses themselves as to what sort of Christmas, you know, they can have. Because previously, before entering level five, they made the argument that they are willing to make whatever sacrifices are needed in November if it saves Christmas, which is a very high, you know, turnover point for them. But I think the expectation was there earlier from businesses, particularly, you know, pubs early in lockdown five, that they may not be reopening for Christmas, where it's a different story for the restaurants, you know, whether or not they'll be allowed to have dining outside or indoor dining as well. And so they are, you know, that's a sort of separate thing to the public expectation management thing. And at the same time, you know, there is also recognition, I mean, compared to other places, public acceptance and compliance with level five has been, I think, higher than maybe what they might have anticipated at the outset. So it's a very fragile thing that they don't want to risk damaging at this point.
Okay, it is that point, though, that people, if they have rules in place at Christmas, and there is an acceptance that they may not be kept. And that point about people following level five fairly well, that was mentioned at the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting last night. One interesting thing too, that is different to the last time. There is a specific unit set up inside in the Department of the Taoiseach now that has brought staff in from the Department of Finance and from the Central Statistics Office that is meant to look at patterns and things that worked when they came out of lockdown the last time, and behaviour patterns. So the degree of analysis and data is going to be more extensive when it comes to lifting certain restrictions compared to it was going into June and July, where there definitely was a sense of a political movement at play at times.
Okay, so we have a situation which the government has got a lot to think about, but at least they've got a couple of weeks. There's another issue which they've got a lot to think about, but they've only got a question of days. And this is judges deciding on judges, judges judging judges. And we have tomorrow around 2:30, the three coalition party leaders bringing together all of the leaders of the opposition and also the heads of the independent groupings to discuss the question of what to do about the row between the Chief Justice and the Supreme Court judge, Seamus Wolfe.
Yeah, and the view seems to have changed considerably here compared to Monday night. And Monday night, the language was cavalier. There was a gung-ho attitude. Yes, this has come the politicians' way. We don't want it, but it's going to happen now and it's going to travel in one direction. And the prospect, as it was being outlined here at that point, was that Seamus Wolfe mightn't want to resign, but he would view that as preferable to facing a motion going before the Houses of the Oireachtas to remove him from office.
This impeachment process.
Yeah. And as it states in the Constitution, removing him from office. And that was very clear, and there was very little doubt in the air among many politicians. And there was this sense too that, you know, pressure would come upon him, that there would be back channels and somehow a way would be found to secure that resignation before it ultimately came to the point here of a vote in the House. That's completely changed. That's completely changed. The political view here, the dominant one, it's not universal, but the dominant view is there must be a way now of getting this and sending it right back down to the High Court, the four courts again, and let them deal with it. Why should politicians have to deal with it when there was enough, there was two views taken in the courts, and why should they be the arbiters of it? For a few reasons. One is this hasn't been done before. The second is that there is a view that no laws were broken here. So it's a matter of, in Catherine Murphy's words, character and judgment. Is that enough to remove a Supreme Court judge from office? There's caution, there's fear. And many politicians suddenly don't want to be involved in this at all, compared to speaking in the most unambiguous language earlier in the week, describing Seamus Wolfe's position as untenable.
Yeah, Mary, it was interesting to see how that dynamic changed between earlier on in the week. Then the advice was given to the Attorney General by the Attorney General to cabinet ministers. And as some of that began to filter out, the positions within the parties changed. One of the things which seemed to be interesting, as Micheál mentioned, was that because this process is effectively new virgin territory, the government would be effectively setting a bar, a precedent on how the Oireachtas would deal with any rows within the Supreme Court. And such a sensitive issue, it's begun to make people reconsider, draw back, and possibly, if the football was kicked from the north side of the city into the south side here in Leinster House, to kick the ball straight back over again, say, your problem, nothing to do with us.
Yeah, and I mean, what they really have to consider here when Micheál Martin meets with the other opposition or the other party leaders tomorrow is, you know, whether Justice Wolfe's attendance at this golf dinner back in August reaches this threshold mentioned in the Constitution of stated misbehaviour. Now, they're in a difficult spot there because that is vague. Most TDs are not lawyers or constitution lawyers at that. And it hasn't ever been tested in the courts. But they know for certain that that is a threshold that they have to meet, and that is a big consideration. And they also have to be very certain of that because, as you said, this brings us maybe to the second political consideration here, which is, you know, whether in initiating any process here, they in some way change the relationship, the dynamic between politics and the judiciary, and, you know, what sort of precedent does that set down the road, or how does that change relationship? How may it be used or misused in the future? And I think that is a big political consideration playing on the minds of many. And I think it's for that reason they know they have to be absolutely sure what they're doing here does meet the threshold. And from what I gather, most people are very far from certain that that is the case. And I think we probably can possibly expect the Attorney General to advise in this regard. If he advises against going down this route, then it does go straight back to the legal sphere. And if, for example, an opposition TD then decides to bring a motion then and sets a process in train, then, of course, the government might have cover if they have Attorney General advice to reject that motion. But if the Oireachtas ever does decide to initiate a process, that is likely to take a very long time. It's likely to be subject to, you know, legal discussion, legal challenges. It would involve, first of all, a committee before anything is done. So it would be a very, very lengthy, drawn-out process.
Yeah.
And I think there is a reluctance of politicians to have to engage themselves in what would be a very tense and difficult process.
But we're talking about the cautious approach here, about how the dynamic changed. But it is not to say, it can't be said that there's a universal view on this. There are parties who believe that this ball has been kicked into the Leinster House Court, that it should act on it, that this process should proceed with. And just because it's difficult doesn't mean that this is something you should shirk.
Yeah, Paul Murphy would clearly be of that view, the Rise TD. It seemed like Sinn Féin were clearly of that view as well, although they haven't said much in the last 48 hours, but it seems they would be pushing in that direction, judging by what Martin Kenny had to say earlier in the week, so that it's in the political forum now and it's up to the politicians to push on with it. Even though it should have been expected, but there was some sense here that the resolute nature of Seamus Wolfe just wasn't taken into account here on Monday night. There was a view once it had made it into this forum and people spoke about past events, former Supreme Court judge and then the other case of the district court judge as well in the past, how once things made their way into the political realm, well, suddenly a change, a new pressure comes on, a pressure that isn't really in many times influenced by the high points of law. It's influenced by political forces, as Derek O'Leary and Phil Hogan both know. But it seems it is different at this point. I suppose Micheál Martin's sentence that he used at the parliamentary party meeting last night is fairly illustrative of the thinking when he said the primary responsibility of the Oireachtas and the government is to maintain public confidence in the judiciary and the legislative system as well and to respect the separation of powers. Past that, and that looks like they don't want to go there. They want to find a way out of this one.
Find a way out. One thing we've noticed is that two parties don't want to find a way out of things. They want to go toe-to-toe, head-to-head, and really sort of get it on. That is Fine Gael and Sinn Féin. It's been one of the characteristics of this week, not just limited to the vote of confidence in Leo Varadkar, but also it permeated into the Shannon, and it's most certainly rolling on social media as well. Why is that happening?
Yeah, there was a real soreness in Fine Gael about the no confidence motion being tabled by Sinn Féin last Friday in the Taoiseach, particularly because they felt that once they had got through last Thursday and it hadn't been come up with the business committee when the business had been set for the following week, essentially they thought they were out the gap and suddenly the sucker punch caught them. And as a result of that, you see this move in the Shannon to go after that huge amount of money left to Sinn Féin, which they couldn't have accepted here, but they could in Northern Ireland. Barry Ward, the senator, saying that's not in the spirit of ethics legislation. And there, the battle, the real intense battle between the parties and the polarisation becomes clear.
Mary, this is an interesting one because if it is a big Fine Gael, Sinn Féin row, where does that leave Fianna Fáil? The concern must be for the party is that Fianna Fáil could be seen as irrelevant as these two big parties take each other on.
Yeah, and part of that Sinn Féin motion of no confidence in Leo Varadkar was aimed at, you know, turning Fianna Fáil in many respects into the sort of mudguard of Fine Gael. You know, it sort of almost assumed the role of a junior party in coalition having to stand up and defend Leo Varadkar. But I thought it was interesting that that motion that was brought in the Shannon the last night, that wasn't on the Shannon schedule last Friday. Now, you know, few people would definitely be reading the Shannon schedule, but they'd a motion down in praising the young people for their response to COVID-19. Then you had the Sinn Féin motion of no confidence announced last Friday, and suddenly this Fine Gael Shannon motion made its way onto the Shannon order paper. So in many ways, it was a sort of a revenge, if you like, for the no confidence motion. And both of these debates, they did really go to the heart of issues around transparency and ethics and in public life. But at the same time, there was definitely a political dynamic at play here. Sinn Féin and Fine Gael going at each other because, as Labour TDs in particular have been pointing out, they believe it suits both parties because the more Fine Gael attacks Sinn Féin, the more it can shore up its own base while sort of sidelining Fianna Fáil, and the more Sinn Féin attacks Fine Gael, then the more it can appeal to its base. So that is the dynamic at play here. And the other parties, like Fianna Fáil, Malcolm Byrne was saying the Shannon last night, you know, that this is a risk for other parties, saying, you know, we want to discuss policies. We don't want to be involved in this sort of slagging match. And if we're not involved in it, then, you know, I mean, we don't have time to debate the issues we want to debate.
How do you think both the Green Party and Fianna Fáil are going to deal with this? When it came to the no confidence and then confidence motion in Leo Varadkar, Fianna Fáil and Green support for the Fine Gael leader was rock solid. But as the week has gone on and that biff between Sinn Féin and Fine Gael rolls on, how do they deal with it? How do they assert themselves? How do they articulate themselves and break through that noise?
I don't know. I think Fianna Fáil think there's a lot of favours owed to them now, and that's what they will be using at the end of this particular week. They will see that, especially having to come in and
stuff
vote.
In the bag.
Mark McSharry having to go all the way back to 27 for precedence, saying it was an empty formula. He quoting De Valera and the entry into the Dáil and taking the oath of allegiance. But they were all on side. I mean, there was no particular problems in the end, and a lot will be expected for that.
So what about the other opposition? We've been talking about the government parties a lot in this podcast. What about Labour? What about the Soc Dems? How have they been dealing with this? And we can't forget the independents, who are still feeling miffed at their ability to be able to communicate, given the new way that Dáil does its business, that their sort of contributions happen much later in debates.
Yeah, it is difficult, isn't it? And I mean, when you look at what the big political issue will be, we think for the next few weeks, it's trying to plot a course through what's going to happen for Christmas. Labour taking a consistent view for a while now through Alan Kelly that it's about opening up as much as possible and then perhaps even shutting down after it and opening up again for Patrick's Day. Roisin Chartow and the Soc Dems taking a way more measured view, saying it's going to be difficult, but trying to avoid that lockdown in January. A range of views on the end. A real, when it comes to this particular one, range of views on the independent side.
Okay, that's where we leave it. Thank you very much for listening to Your Politics Podcast. I'd like to thank our political correspondent, Micheál Lehane, and Mary Regan of our political staff. That's all we have for you this Thursday. If you do like listening to us, please leave us comments. It's always great to hear from you. But until next week, thanks very much. Good night.